It seems, we will say certain, that when we inquire, where are the dead, that we can say from our study of Scripture that God has so deemed it that the soul of man does not go directly to heaven. And the soul of man, the disobedient, does not go directly to hell. The Bible speaks of Hades. The Bible speaks of paradise. It speaks of torment. The Scripture has said that the soul will return to God who gave it, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. We can be sure that this spiritual part of man, of all men, will live on after the body returns back to the dust of the ground. Depending on what man has done in this life, he will either find himself in that paradise of God. How wonderful. From that standpoint, I think that we can say, while death itself holds many things that are unknown, very probably if I ask myself, or if I ask you, well, are you fearful of death? Are you scared of dying? And a fellow says, well, none of us is rushing to get out of this world. But none of us will get out of this world alive. And really, what it comes down to is that while all of us are uncertain about the unknown, but whenever we think of the statement of our Lord where he turned to the malefactor and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a wonderful, wonderful future awaits the children of God. The sentiment that was voiced long, long ago by somebody, grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. There will be some, because of their disobedience to God, that are going to be punished. Punished as we read that the rich man himself was punished, finding himself in torment. But we have said all of this in order to introduce our lesson, our thought for this evening, and that is the judgment and the second coming of our Lord Jesus has not yet taken place in the events that are listed in Luke the 16th chapter. Our Lord is yet to come. When we read passages like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we are told by the great apostle that we are not to sorrow as those who have no hope, because when the Lord Jesus himself comes with his mighty angels, that then will he bring the souls of those with him who are of the righteous dead. And there will be that resurrection. Looking at Matthew, the 25th chapter, which will be the main scripture that we will dwell on this evening, the scripture pictures that great day of judgment. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Have you thought about that great day of judgment? Have you thought about that? Have you taken time yet in your life to picture that great day of judgment? Think with me for a moment. What do you see? What do you see? Do you see God, who is present there at the judgment? How will we feel when we come into the presence of God? Are you able to see His Son, Jesus Christ, as He sits there on the throne of judgment? That's the greatest day that is yet to come. Can you picture its splendor? The awe? How are you feeling as you think about that great day of judgment? We're all going to be there, you know. How do you feel about that? Is there joy in your heart as you think, I am going to be there at the judgment day? Are you filled with terror? There's a great day coming. What will happen and why? One of the questions that was asked on Wednesday night, if it is true that when man dies, his destiny is fixed, he will at that time either find himself tormented because of the knowledge of his life before that he failed in his service to God, or there will be great rejoicing, there will be great comfort in Abram's bosom as he rejoices over this wonderful reward of God. Why a judgment day? Well, those are some things that are certainly worthy of our consideration. What are the lessons that we're able to learn from Matthew chapter 25? Well, as we have already indicated, it will be when the Son of God comes again. That day of judgment has not yet happened. It has not yet taken place. We notice that verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. That's not happened yet, but it is going to happen. It is certain. It does not matter, as we indicated this morning, if there are those who say, I don't believe in such a thing as the day of judgment. I believe that God is just going to judge us in this life, and we will pay the price for our good actions or our bad, for our wise or our foolish actions in this life. Well, while some of that may have some application to choices in this life, that's not judgment day. It is certain. It is going to happen because God has decreed it. Again, relying on the book of Ecclesiastes, the closing verse of that book says, for God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That day has not yet happened, but it is certain. God has decreed it. Do you ask the question, why a judgment? Well, this is part of the answer. God has decreed that there be such a day. Everyone will be there. Every man that has ever lived, every individual that has ever lived. When Peter appeared at the household of Cornelius, evidently the Holy Spirit saw that this was important, that Cornelius understood there is going to be a day of judgment. And so in Acts 10 and in verse 42, Peter said to Cornelius, "And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead." Did you notice that last phrase? Your old King James Bible will say the quick and the dead, but this explains. He is going to judge those who have already died. Go back to Adam and Eve. Go back to the very beginning of those who thousands of years ago have died. And God is going to judge them in this great day of judgment. But there are going to be some folks alive when it comes, isn't there? And the Bible talks about those who are alive. And he is going to judge those as well. All will be there. No man is going to escape simply because he has died ahead of time. Again, not because we want to pick on our Jehovah's Witness friends, but simply because they are so much in error. They say, "Oh, hell for the wicked is the grave." That's it. Because Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that man has an immortal spirit, they say, "When the breath of life." If you got a bad breath, that means you've got a bad spirit. Did you know that? Toothpaste won't even take care of it. And so the wicked, what is their punishment? The grave. The grave. And they will labor hard with that Old Testament word Sheol to show that it just means the grave. And if you've been bad, well, your punishment is you're going to die and you're going to be cast into the pit. That's one of their favorite words. And that's the end of you. Just like old Rover that gets run over out there in the road. When he dies, why, he is completely dead. And we bury him and that's the end of it. Well, that's not so when it comes to man. That's not so when it comes to man. Every person that has died, you remember this morning we have dealt with the subject, where are the dead? Well, all of the dead, all of those in Abram's bosom, all of those that have found themselves tormented, every individual, both living and dead, is going to appear before God at the judgment. Somebody says, "How could God do that terrible thing?" Well, the answer is that judgment is going to be righteous. Because he is the righteous God. Because he has never ever made a bad judgment. Because he has never ever punished anybody that does not deserve to be punished. And he has never rewarded anybody that he has not deemed worthy of reward. And so we read in Romans the 2nd chapter. If you will, turn and we will begin with verse 5, though I heartily recommend the entire first portion of 2 Corinthians or of Romans chapter 2. But beginning in verse 5, Paul says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Do you say, I'm a handsome dude, God will let me off? Do you say, I am of such and such a social stratus? I am of a chosen race, God will excuse me. Every person. And for those who are seeking for immortality, there will be glory and honor. And for those who through disobedience, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish. How clear can the Bible make it? One of the things that we should have been able to picture in our minds in the very beginning about this great day of judgment, it will be a righteous judgment. Oh, we don't have to fear about that. Whatever pronouncement God says concerning me, that's going to be absolutely right. He knows me, and his judgment is without partiality. And then, eternity will begin. Then eternity will begin. Someone says, why? Why? What are the reasons for the judgment? And we have already said this morning, and we have already said again this evening, if we could do nothing else than to simply say, because God demands it. Why is there going to be a final judgment? Because God said so. Because God said so. Because that's the plan of God. Man did not make this arrangement. Just as man did not devise the plan of salvation, nor the sending of God's Son, nor his death on the cross, nor the resurrection, nor the spirit of man, God planned every bit of it. And how foolish and how wicked it is of man to try to put himself in the place of God and say, if I were God, I would not have a final day of judgment. You're not God. I'm not God. If God did not give us any other reason than the fact that he says to us, there is going to be a day of judgment. It is certain. You are going to be there. I am going to be there. Every person that has ever lived, both the quick and the dead, will all appear before the judgment seat. This is one appointment that no one will miss. No one will miss this appointment. But you know God is gracious. Oh, just in so many ways. Yes, we say it should suffice us when we ask the question, in view of the fact that the dead are either going to be rewarded or they are going to be punished after their death? Why the judgment? Well, the answer is simply because that's God's arrangement. That's the way He intends it. We have to say, this righteous judge, this all-wise and merciful Heavenly Father, this God who created us, He knows what He's doing. Why a day of judgment? Because God has already determined that this will be a day in which all of His creation will worship Him. Did you know that? All men are going to worship Him on that day. I look over at Romans, the 14th chapter. Verse 10. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Do you know there's not going to be any atheists on Judgment Day? Not a single unbeliever. People say, if I could just see, then I would believe. Well, you're going to see. You're going to see the Heavenly Father in all of His splendor. You're going to see His Son, Jesus Christ. I think it was Brother Walter Davis that said it so well the other night. We're all going to bow the knee. We're all going to confess Christ as Lord. It's just a question of will we do it in this life? Will we do it when it will be of benefit to us? Or will we wait until the day of judgment? Why is there going to be a day of judgment? Well, I think you can just mark that down in your notebook. That one reason that God gives as to why there is going to be this day when all of the world, when all of creation, those that have died hundreds and thousands of years ago, those who had died yesterday, and everybody that is alive when Christ returns again. That's going to be a day of worship. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of God. What a great day of worship that is going to be. Sometimes we are in audiences of where maybe there will be 1,500 people or 2,000 people. Religionists put great stock in how many worshipers there are. That day, there will not be a single individual that will not fall down and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who sits upon the throne. What is the judgment? It's not a court trial. It's not a court trial. There's no need for a court trial. You know, judicial arrangements as far as man is concerned will say, well, you know, I think this person is innocent or I think they are guilty, but you know, we've got to get together and we've got to have a trial. And there has to be 12 just and good men that are going to listen to the testimony, and there will be the defense lawyer, and there will be the prosecution, and one will say, this is the evidence that shows this individual is guilty or innocent, and another will say, no, that's not so, here it is. And the jury will listen to all of that, and the judge will listen to all of that, and they are told, consider your verdict, and they will go out. And depending upon the complexity of the trial and the evidence that is presented, well, then they are to contemplate and bring back a verdict. That's not going to happen on the day of judgment. Judgment day is just exactly what the Bible says it is. God already knows everything about you, doesn't he? Is there anything that you have ever thought or done that God does not know about? A single thing. Why, he knows your heart. He knows everything about you. There is no need for God, in a figure of speaking, to scratch his head there on the day of judgment, and for Jesus to confer with the Father and the Holy Spirit and say, what do you think? Do you think that this person should be rewarded with eternal life, or do you think they should be punished? Oh, no. What is the judgment? What will happen on that day? Well, first of all, God's going to make a pronouncement. His Son, Jesus, will make a pronouncement. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's a statement of judgment. Those who are on his right hand are going to hear those blessed words. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Oh, but we are told there's going to be a far greater multitude over here on the left. And they will hear these words. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Depart from me, ye cursed. What is that? Well, that's judgment. That's the pronouncement. Well, but there is something else that is involved. There are going to be some who will want to know why. There will be some who evidently will want to know, why did you say to me, come, ye blessed of my Father? What have I done in order that I might deserve such a rich, rich reward from you? And there will be explanation at the judgment. It may be that those who have died, maybe they understand, all right, well, I have been comforted. Or some may say, I have been punished. Why? I think that it is especially true that those who have not died, who are still alive when the Lord comes. You see, we've been talking all the time about the attitude and the conditions of the dead. What about these folks that are still alive? If our Lord comes tomorrow and you're still here on earth, do you know there's going to be some good folks and some bad folks here on earth, just like there are tonight? There's going to be some obedient folks that have worshipped and served him. There's going to be some disobedient. Lord, why have you said to me, come ye blessed of my Father? He says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Had a fellow to write me the other day from Southwestern Virginia, a fine young man. And he was writing me about a pretty bad fellow that was in prison. And in urging that we would investigate not this man, but his family, he quoted Matthew 25. Don't you do that. If you want to go to prison to visit lawbreakers, and if you think that you may be able to teach them the gospel, you do that. But they're not your brethren. And if they are your brethren, they have broken the law some way or other. What does the Bible teach about Christians helping Christians? About Christians having that concern for the kingdom of God? Well, I believe Matthew chapter 10 explains it better. And I look over there and I see that the Lord is talking about some reward. And this is the way that he puts it, beginning with verse 40. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Do you know the attitude of folks who do that? They say, the kingdom of God is number one in my life. Oh, I have compassion for my brethren who are naked and who are hungry and who are suffering persecution, and they are in prison for the cause of Christ. But it is because I love the Lord Jesus. And it is because I love his cause of righteousness. And it is because I want to help those who are out there teaching and preaching and promoting the kingdom of God. And if all I can do is give them a cup of cold water, I'll not lose my reward. And Jesus says, those of you to whom I have said, come ye blessed of my Father, your attitude toward my kingdom has been, it's number one. I want to do everything I can in order to promote your kingdom and to help those who are citizens in the kingdom. And that's what it is. What about those who hear this pronouncement, depart from me, ye cursed? I think there's going to be a lot of surprised folks, don't you? We talked about that on Wednesday night. It was suggested, you know, there's a lot of folks that think they're right. If I was in a religion and I said, I don't think I'm right, do you know what I'd do? I'd change that. But you can talk to Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, and the list just goes on, and you say, do you think you're right? Oh, yeah, yeah, I think I'm right. And so in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read about some of those folks that apparently are going to be mightily surprised at the judgment. And yes, maybe this does apply mainly to those who are alive whenever the Lord comes again. But here he says in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say to me in that day," in what day? Evidently this great day of judgment. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name?'" Look at all the good teaching we've been doing. "Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" Hallelujah! We're miracle workers. Look at all the great things that we have done in your name. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And do you know those who have been deceived? Those who did not love righteousness enough to study the truth, the way our brother Larry talked about why and how he came out of error? Do you know what? Those folks are going to be mightily surprised at the judgment. And they're going to say to the Lord, "Lord, you've made a big mistake here. You made a terrible mistake here because you're saying to me, 'Depart from me, you cursed. And look at all we've been doing in your name, Lord. We've spent money. We've spent time. We've sent missionaries to Africa.'" And the Lord is just going to say to a host of all of those that are in these false religions here on earth, "Get away from me. I never knew you. You've never been recognized as my children, no matter what you thought." Why the judgment? Because there's a lot of folks that need to be straightened out. Because there's a lot of folks that think they're better than what they are. Because the Lord is going to tell every one of us, "What I've done is right. What I've done is just." And these will go away when you look at 46. "And these will go away into everlasting life. But the wicked into eternal punishment, which will it be for you?" You say, "Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Well, I'm not doing everything I should do, but the Lord knows I'm not perfect. I haven't always put the kingdom of God first. But, you know, that's all right. It's all right." Boy, I don't want to bank on that. We said this morning, and we say it again, this life is all you've got. You get a lot of things in front of your spiritual condition, your job, your marriage, your entertainment, whatever it may be that really reaches out and grabs you, college sport, professional things, whatever it may be. And you say, "Oh, that's number one in my life." And those who say, "I've got to make money. I've got to make money." Or like my dear old uncle who said, "Don't worry about me. I've been baptized 3 times. To be religious is not enough. It's not enough. at the day of judgment, this is a day God has determined. It's going to happen. Whether people think it is right or not, whether they think I already know what my destiny is, God has said it has to take place. Because I want everybody that has ever lived to worship me, to fall down and to worship my Son. I want everybody to do that, and then I want to tell them what is going to happen to them for eternity. And whenever they say, why, I'll tell them why. Are you ready?